All right.
How's everybody doing? Watching us have AV issues? Initially, we had multiple systems here that we were trying to demo off of. Unfortunately, the DisplayPort and all the audio-visual problems had to happen because we didn't pray to the demo gods hard enough this morning. But thank you guys for coming to our session today. My name is Anur Sumar, and this is Islam Goma. Today, we actually had a question from an audience member that came up to us, and he asked us, he said, what are you guys presenting on? Brian asked us the question earlier. He said, what are you guys presenting on? Is it going to be Hyper-V? Is it going to be System Center? Is it going to be SQL? It's going to be a mix of all three, but we're primarily going to focus on System Center and the capabilities that it gives you, not necessarily Hyper-V or VMware, but more focused towards System Center, virtualizing SQL, in a SQL workload within a, or taking a SQL workload and virtualizing it and then managing it through System Center.
So I believe that actually what we can do today in hypervisor, you can very much do it in VMware. Right. I'm on.
Yeah. So with that said, anybody, how many DBAs do we have in the room? Oh my, very nice.
These are not my friends.
Oh, because he's a virtualization guy. But how many virtualization guys do you have in the room or infrastructure guys? Okay, several of you. So it sounds like the DBAs and the virtualization guys are all integrated together. And how many System Center folks in the room?
Awesome.
Awesome.
So good, very good crowd here.
So we're going to talk about enabling some of these solutions and some of the best practices with virtualizing SQL Server and going over some of the capabilities, the benefits, the pitfalls, the trade-offs, and then we're going to demonstrate all these capabilities. There's going to be a demo-intensive session. So feel free to ask us questions. If it's going to be a hyper-technical question or something that's long-winded, we'll save it for the end. If it's something that you feel that we can answer or something a little bit that's shorter, we can answer it at the moment. So feel free to kind of raise your hand and ask the questions. We do have a larger audience, so we want to make sure that we do make this interactive as much as possible. So what are some of the benefits of virtualizing SQL with Windows Server and System Center?
Well, I believe actually one of the good things today was 2012, or actually there was the service today that actually we have performance, huge increase in performance. So today actually I can see that I'm running on a hypervisor with 64 processors with 640 logical processor in Hyper-V. That's a really great improvement.
How many of you guys have virtualized SQL workloads today in your environment?
Oh, beautiful.
Very nice. Beautiful. And how many of you guys have had some sort of reservations as to the hardware limitations in the past that you guys have run into? So it's a lot of you, right? So one of the key things that Hyper-V provides, along with the powerful combination of System Center, is the performance and scalability for you to be able to take your larger hardware workloads and take 64 sockets or 64 processors and 640 logical processors so that you can actually take your workloads inside Hyper-V and then be able to scale them out with a lot more performance improvements. So what are some of the flexible storage and availability options, Aslan?
Well, today actually, actually you can bring your iSCSI, your Fibre Channel actually to your VMs, right?
Right.
You can actually also leverage the usage of SMB 3.0. Anyone here running on SAN, backbone? Awesome. Anyone running on iSCSI, FC,
Okay.
SMB 3.0?
Okay. So we got one guy in the back that's saying for SMB 3.0. One of the key benefits that we actually found was the flexible storage availability with SMB 3.0 on virtualized workloads. Not only do you get high availability, but you get continual availability with these workloads, right? So you also get storage spaces and the benefits of storage spaces, as introduced earlier in the keynote yesterday. You get the capability to take storage spaces and tier those storage volumes. So if I have my solid state drives for my SQL database, I have my SATA tier, I have my more of my SAS tier where I have faster spinning disk, I can take my database and spin that up and have my database, have the hot chunks of my database tier up to the top on the SSD layer and then have the lower colder chunks kind of tier back down to the SATA layer, which I think is a huge benefit. I mean, do you guys find that you'll be needing that a lot more. So I see some head shaking here. So this is more and more the capability of a combination of Windows Server and System Center that will allow you to have that flexible storage, something that can be tiered, something that can be more flexible and dynamic for your environment. That is allowed with virtualization and virtualizing SQL Server over Hyper-V as well as store spaces.
So tell me, guys, here, if you want to have more IOPS in your SAN, what are you going to do? Someone just shouted. Add more disks, right? Well, there's actually now the tiering. You can actually very much say, you know what? I'm going to reserve my stuff. I'm going to get some solid state. I'm going to get some SAS. My data can always reside on SAS. And I can use my solid state here today. I can actually online. Can I go, okay, my application now need IOPS. Just let's put the data now on the cache back right on this, on
so
solid state.
The automated storage tiering is what's amazing about it. So if it sees that it needs the ability to be able to consume more IOPS, it takes just that piece and it brings that up to the top. If it needs to be able to scale it down, things that are really not in use, takes it back down to the bottom.
Right.
So your financial databases at the end of quarter, or some things that kind of pop in, your high transaction applications that come in as users come on in the morning, those kind of things will be really, it'll be a lot more helpful to get those things there with storage flexibility. And
you can always rack your SAN with solid state disks, but I'm wondering how much that will cost, right? So how about actually, I got some solid state, I got some SAS, right? I got the IOPS that I want in the time that I need, right?
Yep. Deployment and management is also a really, really, really big thing that System Center provides. Think of being able to take your mundane tasks that you constantly have that are repetitive in the environment with SQL Server that you don't really like to do, like provisioning SQL services or provisioning instances of SQL in the environment that you really don't like to do, but you want to have automated. Why? Because it's a repeatable process. You do it over and over and over again. So for example, I have water pumps that come in, and I'm going to move away from the technology concept, but use more of a concept with the house. I have water pumps that come into the ground. They come up through the fixtures. They come all the way to the top in my kitchen, right at the faucet layer where I can turn the faucet on and off to be able to consume that water, right? So with self-service and the capabilities that System Center Service Manager, Orchestrator, and Virtual Machine Manager provide, I can now turn particular services or consume particular services based on demand. So if I want to do on-demand provisioning of SQL Server, if I want to do on-demand backup of SQL Server, some of the key transactions that I really don't like necessarily to do, I can have that automated and have deployment management capabilities through Service Manager, through a service request form. And we're going to show some demonstrations of this. We want to cover this in the key slides at the beginning so that you guys can see and look forward to some of the benefits. Another huge benefit with System Center Operations Manager is distributed applications. So distributed applications allows you to have not only your SQL tier, but your app tier, your web tier, your network layer, your storage layer, all these components comprised of a top-level business service or an application that sits at the top. As you break it out, you can see all the different components of the web tier, the app tier, the SQL tier, and even the network components that are underlying. So how many times have you run into an issue where SQL services has kind of been blamed for, the application running slow or there being a problem or hiccups in the application, where you're like, no, it's not SQL, but you really haven't had a true way to necessarily prove it right off the bat? Anybody run into those scenarios? I saw people try to take three hands up if they had them. So it's like two hands up, one in the back. So that's one of the key benefits that Operations Manager provides, is dashboard visibility not only into your SQL environment, but a dashboard or a distributed application where all your administrators can look into it and see, here's the application availability. The port flapping, port core switch 2, port 21 flapping is not necessarily a SQL problem. It's a network problem, but it's happening on the SQL layer. So the network administrator needs to fix that problem and not the SQL administrator. So these kind of capabilities are extremely valuable.
That's right. And just on top of Anur said that with the DA today, he got it right, saying actually monitor all your applications from one place, but also you can actually manage your SQL servers or database from here as an IT professional.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Synthetic transactions is also a really, really big thing, right? Would you agree?
That's right. We'll show this today in the demo too.
Synthetic transactions allow you to have constant running transactions or logging into the application, querying SQL, looking at it for timeouts, looking at it for amount of milliseconds that you need to have for application performance. Having it do what an operations team does and kind of having it automate those tasks is really, really valuable that we find.
So today, actually, we'll show you a good demo for SCOM. I know that actually SCOM and DBAs, DBAs has been always SCOM. It's like a black box for them. They don't know what to monitor in, how the SCOM administrator need to do. I will show you good stuff today with this, and hopefully that one will help you.
The other thing is as you virtualize SQL workloads, you have the ability for portability and of development workloads. So if you're running SQL services on your virtual machine that's on your desktop or on your laptop, being able to have the portability of that workload back into the data center environment is huge. Granted, databases and these things do get restored and pulled back and forth, but if you want it just to stay intact and transfer workloads and have that portability for development, it's a huge win, and we find that as a big benefiting factor for virtualizing SQL.
That's right.
So as we said, our goal is to lower costs, lower total cost of ownership, find areas of process automation where we could take key processes, mundane processes that are in your environment, and work towards automating those processes and show off some of the capabilities that System Center provides.
Well, yesterday, actually, Anur, we were talking about DPM provisioning and all of this, and Anur came with a business expression, say, IRR.
Yep. Right? So you take the process. IRR is innovate, reduce, and repeat. So what we've done is we've taken some processes. You guys have innovated, or Microsoft has innovated the technology where you can have all the key capabilities. You install SQL. You go through all the process for the workloads, but you reduce those processes and then shrink them down and then repeat them over and over through a service configuration. And we're going to show how that works with System Center.
Awesome.
So what are some of the pitfalls and trade-offs of virtualizing SQL?
Well, I'll tell you something. I mean, now with automation and self-service, I'm finding a lot of instances of databases and SQL servers actually on my hypervisor, right? Mm-hmm. And those a lot. Like everyone now today who want to have a database to test or put in production, he just hit request, go ahead.
How many of you guys have more SQL instances and database servers in your environment that you guys want, that you guys don't really need? So almost everybody, right? So as SQL services start to become automated, or as you start to automate provisioning processes, people now have the ability to be able to ask for that, right? But the positive side of this is you can create review activity. So if you don't like doing the mundane tasks that are involved with SQL Server, and you don't like doing some of those repetitive processes, what you can still have is a review activity where you're the reviewer of that process or of that automation. And that can then allow you to say, nope, I already have SQL services deployed here for this. Reject it, send it back so that service request that's actually coming in doesn't get fulfilled. But seeing things that are not there, you can say, yeah, go ahead and approve this, and it automatically starts happening itself. So SQL Server VM sprawl is a huge problem.
Great.
So one of the key things that we want to talk about is how to go through that approval process, ensuring that this automation doesn't actually become a detriment, but more of an enhancement and a enriched capability for your environment. Licensing challenges. I'm going to try to be as brief on this as I can because I want a session next year. So I don't necessarily
want to
talk about...
We want to show up next year, huh?
Don't want to necessarily talk about every single licensing challenge. But one of the key challenges that you run into with virtualizing SQL workloads is you now have the cores or the hypervisor challenges. If SQL's in a cluster or if you're running it in a Hyper-V cluster, if you move it from one area to another, you live migrate a SQL workload, what does that mean for licensing? So some of those key things need to be taken into account, but it's not something that can't be done. So as you take these things or as you start virtualizing your SQL workloads and managing them through System Center, one of the key capabilities that you have with Configuration Manager and the assets or even with Service Manager is the ability to track your assets and your licensing. So as you deploy these models or as these service request fulfillments come into your environment, you're now able to track the licensing across the entire organization for SQL for your SQL Enterprise licensing, your standard, your data center licensing all across the board.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a huge benefit, and we'll showcase a little bit of that. The other pitfall that we normally see is an additional layer of monitoring, right? So you used to be able to hug your server. Now, because it's virtual, you really don't have that capability. So that additional layer of monitoring happens more at the hypervisor layer, and you really can't go and give your server a big hug.
You can hug the hypervisor too.
Well, you can try.
Sure.
So you can give it a virtual hug and something like that.
Awesome. All right. So as Anur said in the beginning, actually, this session actually is all about actually how the SQL Server, System Center component itself talks to SQL Server, right? So we'll be talking about actually deploying SQL Server using System Center Virtual Machine Manager. So how many times, I want to know how you guys now deploy virtual machine system center on a VM, sorry, SQL Server on a VM.
Is it a manual process for most of you guys, or is it something that's automated? So yeah, manual process. So going back through that manual process and taking that and repeating it over and over and over again.
Right.
Okay.
Have you guys actually, and also there's another way that actually you can actually take your virtual machine, copy it multiple times. You can actually install your SQL Server inside, copy it multiple times, but that is not the right way, because once you do that and just prep the machine, SQL Server always preserve the original name of server.
Yep.
Right.
So one of the key things that System Center has to offer for those of you guys that are still coming into System Center is System Center is a suite of products just like Office, right? So you look at it with System Center as a suite of products. We have Virtual Machine Manager, which allows you to manage not only your virtualization workloads, but your storage and your networking for that SQL environment. It also allows you to create service templates and those kind of things where you can create an entire application in the SQL tier and have that IT administrator that you rely on for provisioning services also provision the SQL services the way that you guys have desired through Virtual Machine Manager. Self-service capabilities come through Service Manager. Now, Service Manager is like the glue of System Center, right? Service Manager provides incident management, change management, release management, service request fulfillment, but is also the CMDB of System Center. It's the Configuration Manager database, so all the configurations in the environment that are pertaining to your infrastructure, that are pertaining to the software side, all come into the CMDB. And with Service Manager, what happens is your assets, your licensing, everything is tracked there, as well as the service requests that are being delivered out to your end users. So as your end users would like to consume SQL services or more platform services, or developers would like to consume these services from you, you can consume that through a request process in Service Manager. And we'll show some of these demonstrations as well.
So I believe also if you're a company that today actually trying to follow the ITIL process, actually Service Manager actually your good friend that actually will allow you to do that.
So change management is one of the bigger things that we found, and we're going to do some demonstrations of that through System Center. Change management, it becomes a problem where you have large SQL workloads that have financial applications or legal applications that are running that have particular compliance requirements. System Center Service Manager allows you the capability to integrate change management into those processes so that you can have audit trails and all the other things that are associated with that as well. Yeah. Under automations, everything that you can do from an automation perspective or everything that you can think of from an automation perspective can be done through System Center Orchestrator, which we kind of abbreviated for Scorch. System Center Orchestrator is a workflow process, or it's a workflow designer that allows you the ability to be able to take different components or different Visio kind of like objects and fill them up with different commandlets and have it follow that repeatable process over and over and over that's plugged into a service request process. So the service request comes in from a developer or an end user that says, I want XYZ services, or I want to see this report, or I want to see these particular tasks happen with SQL. That translation is done into this automation workload or done into this workflow, and that workflow then executes that task based on your approval. So that's a huge component. And then Operations Manager, which we talked about with distributed applications and synthetic transactions, and then self-service backup and restore capabilities leveraging Data Protection Manager.
Awesome. So when we talk about actually Virtual Machine Manager, as you know, Virtual Machine Manager will allow you to deploy and configure your virtual machines, right? So what we are going to show now, we'll show that SQL Server deployment through System Center Virtual Machine Manager. We're going to be showing actually how SQL Profile works. Then automated SQL Server installation itself. Then we'll go with building out the application with SQL Server, right? So if I'll take this, the next step was the demo. By the way, that's actually kind of a weird setup. My laptop is here, and I'm looking here because the video doesn't work, so.
Bear with us on that one.
Yeah. So now I'm, anyway. Awesome.
That is my grandmother weeping at how great these technologies are, watching me from remote.
All right. So how many of you today are using Virtual Machine Manager to deploy VMs? Beautiful.
Nice.
And how many of you are using Virtual Machine Manager to deploy SQL? All right.
How many of you guys are using VMware? Oh, nice. Well, I see some laughter. I see a whole bunch of hands, people raising two hands. I was like, wow.
No problem. We got you.
We already counted you. So we do realize that VMware in a lot of cases is the platform of choice. But what we're going to show you is you can actually take your VMware virtual machines, not only your Hyper-V or your particular Microsoft workload virtual machines, but you can take your VMware virtual machines and create these types of service templates in here. And we'll show you the integration. If some of you guys, do you guys want to see the integration between VMware, your VMware virtual machines in here? Oh, wow. We're getting claps here. Let me show you some of the key capabilities of Virtual Machine Manager real fast before we go into this, because I do see that this is a very important factor for virtualizing SQL.
Go for it.
So the first thing that you have in the virtual machine layer is your fabric, right? And your fabric allows you to take your different components, such as your storage, your network, your compute resources, and then plug those into the fabric layer. Now, if you guys have diversified storage platforms, or if you guys have like an EMC array, a NetApp array, some of the different storage platforms that you guys have in your environment, you have different diverse infrastructures where you have different SQL servers that are relying on it or different database structures. What the fabric layer allows you to do, and this is the fabric layer. I kept looking at it. I'm like, is this up? Okay, it is up.
It is up.
The fabric layer allows you to take all of your arrays, your different SAN arrays, whether you have solid state drives, whether you have SATA drives, everything that you have in your environment, it allows you to take your different storage arrays and through an SMIS or SMP provider, bring them all together. So you only see one SAN across the board for everything.
That's right.
And that one SAN is now unified for your SQL services, for the different workloads that you have for SQL services. You want logs to be on SATA. You want to have those different pools and classification. You can say, I have gold storage, I have platinum storage, I have bronze storage. You can go ahead and tier that out, and it can actually splice that up between different SANs if you need to. So it's really, really valuable. Your development workloads, you probably won't run on flash, right? I know some of you guys would like to, but you normally wouldn't run that on flash. So that's something that's there so you can provide storage as a service from the infrastructure side. Yep?
Let's say, for example, if you have systems like VNAX, which is an EMC
that's a really good question. Let's actually show you. So I have my different arrays. If it has a SMP provider and an SMIS provider, what you do is, like for a VMAX, you probably have an SMP provider, right? You'd bring down that provider. Now, in this case, we don't have this set up, but you can say SMIS provider or SMP provider. And you can provide the protocol, which would, in this case, be SMIS.
Or MSICMXL.
Right. And then provide the IP address or the full FQDN, the port that it's used, so that it can communicate with that SAN. So then in the background, instead of carving your LUNs through your SAN interface, you can actually carve your LUNs through here. So your LUNs, those things that you can carve up for your virtual machines, you can present that up on your virtualization layer for storage as a service. So really good question.
Thanks.
And then you put your run as account here for your EMC array. And then you have your network layer, right? So this is where you say, here's the different types of networks that I want to provision. I have different VIP templates. So I have SQL servers that are in my DMZ. I have SQL servers that are in my data center network. All these capabilities now can get centralized into the virtual machine management layer. I promised you guys VMware. Here it is. So this is where you can take your VMware virtual workloads and add VMware vCenter to this. Just because you're adding VMware vCenter to this doesn't mean your virtual machine is being converted to Hyper-V. I promise. So what you're doing is you're actually taking that management layer, and instead of having 20 different administrators to go to provision a SQL server and have it take a six-week process before you get it while you're kind of like putting your head against the wall and you're like, I can't believe it's taking forever, you can have a centralized process, right? Because with automations comes great responsibility. And if you don't have the proper processes in place, it's all about process. If you don't have the proper processes in place to make these provisioning capabilities, what's going to happen is you're going to have SQL sprawl and things are going to be all over the place. This is why it's really important to centralize these capabilities to Virtual Machine Manager. So this is where you can take your VMware workloads, and I know you guys really wanted to see this. This is where you can take your vCenter and all the VMware components that are associated with your SQL servers, along with the virtual machine properties, are all brought into here. If you want to do a migration from one host to another, if you want to deploy even virtual machines that are on VMware from this tool, Microsoft now with the interoperability allows you to deploy VMware virtual machines and SQL workloads on VMware through Virtual Machine Manager. So that's pretty cool.
Right.
And this is the fabric layer, okay, of Virtual Machine Manager. Now, in your library layer, I'm going to let Islam go ahead and give you guys a demonstration of what the SQL service profiles are. Now, for virtualization, one of the key things or the benefits that System Center Virtual Machine Manager provides is if you look at it from a cloud perspective, right, you have three different types of clouds. You have infrastructure. You have three different types of service offerings. You have infrastructure as a service, you have platform as a service, and you have software as a service. For infrastructure as a service, you take all the different hardware layers and the components that we showed you, and you bring them together so that you can provide them in a very automated and centralized, standardized way through Virtual Machine Manager. But when you get to platform as a service, SQL is a platform. So if you want to just provide SQL platforms to your environment, and you want to provide that platform as a service to your developers or the other people that just need to consume SQL services, you can do that in here, and that's done through profiles. SQL service profiles that you put in your SQL server steps into that layer on top of the infrastructure as a service, so that SQL Server, as it gets installed on there, is done every time the way you've designed it to get deployed. And that's really big. So Islam's going to show you what the SQL Server's profile looks like in Virtual Machine Manager.
So on the library, today you can go ahead and create a SQL Server profiles. So I already have one here already created. Let's actually see what it has. So SQL Server configuration, it comes to, you can say actually, this is the name of the deployment. This is actually my SQL Server instance name. And this is my instance name too. And this is my run as. This is actually how I'm running. Then if I go to configuration, this is the source of the data of SQL Server. Before you do your SQL Server and before you do everything, you need to sysprep your machine first. And once you sysprep machine, turn it on. So how many person here, he did actually pre-configure SQL Server on a virtual machine? Awesome. So
one daring individual.
Right.
I like it.
Thanks for supporting me. Yeah. So this is a third option for you to say, you know what, I want to just only install the layers for the fundamental stuff for SQL Server, and everything else will be generic and will be installed on top of this. Then,
so this is a familiar interface for most of you, right? Where you guys add particular, you do Windows authentication, you do SQL authentication, you can add your configuration files. You can also add scripts in here. If you want particular capabilities or you want certain things that you want to set up with SQL Server, you can add those scripts in here for that deployment process.
I'll talk about this soon. Sure. Then in here, in the service accounts, here you have your run as account that actually SQL Server will run as. Then SQL Server agent that actually you run your agent underneath. Then reporting services, how to do that. So there are another capabilities that Anur was talking about. Actually, you can provide your INI file to SQL Server profile, so when actually you install your virtual machine, when you install your template, you can actually read from the INI and follow the instructions that you have. And with that way, you standardize all your deployment. So the way to do that is just go here, SQL Server. And here you browse SQL INI. SQL INI, normally it is saved under library. In the library, if I can browse them. They're somewhere here anyway.
Right. There it is.
Yeah. So this is actually SQL INI. Anyone know how to generate SQL INI?
Of course.
How do you do that?
No.
Right.
He's gonna start popping quizzes here.
Right. But so the easiest way to do that, actually, go through your manual step-by-step installation for SQL Server. Right? In the last screenshot, or actually last wizard, you'll have a long pass through INI. Take this INI, copy it, and see your INI here. So no brainer.
Another huge benefit at the bottom is you can actually set up baselines in the environment for patching. Because I know sometimes patching SQL becomes a nightmare. You can set up baselines to say, I want these patches to pertain to these particular hosts or this cluster for my virtualization environment. And as SQL services go back and forth, you have cluster aware updating that allows you to take those virtual machines and your patching environment and centralize that into here as well. So it's really big.
Right. So now we talked about SQL profile. This is actually where it actually concerns SQL. So how about actually my OS itself? My OS itself, actually, I have another guest OS profile. Assuming that actually you want to have SQL Server running on a standard OS, enterprise OS, data center OS. So you can actually have multiple guest OS profiles here, and you can use which SQL profile you want to use it with. So this is my SQL profile, Windows profile. I have Enter 1. This is what version of Windows I'm using. The @hostname is actually, this is kind of actually input that I will show you right away in the service template how we enter this. This is my admin password that I kept encrypted, and this is the key. And all the, actually the common configuration for an OS that you go through, click, 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 we can actually standardize all of them here, automate them. Right. Go ahead.
Now to the fun stuff where you actually start looking at the service templates, right? So in the service templates, this is where you can start to say, I want my entire configuration to look like this. Yes.
Right.
Pardon me? Is Windows Core supported with this profile? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Because this profile is being managed through Virtual Machine Manager. And if you have Core, you can bring that into here as well.
So the Windows Core itself, actually, we are running, actually, maybe that actually we...
Yes. So I totally agree with you on that. But and just for deploying SQL services, it does. Yes. Yes.
Right.
Great comment there.
Right. So if you actually want to get your core Windows server, this is actually a template for your Windows, right? So taking your hardware. Well, we're calling this VHD that actually did sysprep it as a core operating system. Right, so I'm going to go to a service template. I am saying, actually, I would like to provision SQL Server 2012. I'll say configure deployment. Hopefully, I can actually, yeah, this is the right version. Configure deployment. This is how I call it SQL 11. Is OK. Right? So it actually is expecting a name for the host name from a machine. I'll call it SQL 11 as well. Right? And just to do refresh.
And you can see the suitable host at the bottom changing.
Right?
So
Virtual Machine Manager actually detected that actually this is a suitable machine, the host actually that I want to deploy in. So I would actually use this one. And I say deploy services. As soon as I say deploy, hopefully I didn't miss any settings. Right? I'll see a job coming here, say I'm running with this.
Now you can also take your application, your other application capabilities like your web server, your app server. I know this isn't a part of SQL services particularly, but you can also take your web app and the other tiers that are in here and drag and drop them on the canvas and actually deploy the entire application as a whole too.
Right.
So it's not just only SQL Server, but you can combine all your different application services up at the top so that you can deliver that platform and software as a service through here.
I'll keep this running actually. Hopefully we'll actually get back to it by the end of the session. We'll be deployed. So
we're gonna hop back into the PowerPoint.
Right.
And what we're going to talk about is automating a lot of these processes. So we showed you how to build them under the hood. Now we're going to talk about automation of the tasks in SQL Server, and then we're going to get to the monitoring components and the distributed application pieces. So System Center Orchestrator allows you to standardize and automate task management. It enables you to take your request-based SQL service security and these other requirements in through Orchestrator. It works as an EDI transaction. So if you guys have SQL Server and if you have Oracle or other database platforms that are there, This can work as an EDI transaction in between SQL Server and take database tables or take different things and build a translation between SQL Server and other platforms that are there. Or if you have other things that need to come into SQL Server, this can pull it outside of SQL Server because it works as a workflow environment. And it can pull that through a monitoring node, or it can pull that in through other capabilities. It works really well as an EDI transaction. So that's something that we're going to kind of talk about a little bit later as well. So for hybrid environments that are non-SQL, it works really, really well too for that.
Right.
So he's going to show a demonstration of Orchestrator and what that looks like.
So one of the common scenarios that you have a database on production, right? Then you restore the database somewhere else, then you need to deploy this in your SQL Server. You have two options. Either if your SQL database backup can actually talk to this, like DPM, that's good. Or if you every time you want to deploy SQL Server and you want to make sure that this database over there is already there because this is actually what you do your tracing in it, right? So you need to deploy this database on SQL Server. So I'll be using Orchestrator here. And hopefully, actually, is this enough? So how many of you today familiar with Orchestrator?
Okay.
Very good. All right. So do you want to actually introduce Orchestrator?
Yeah. So Orchestrator is the workflow engine that we were talking about earlier. And this workflow engine allows you to drag and drop activities on here so that you can create certain processes. So everything that you have that you want from a process perspective gets dragged and dropped through integration packs in Orchestrator. Those integration packs are on the right-hand side that allow all the other system center capabilities or things that are not even there for system center capabilities. You have particular SQL jobs that you want to run or other tasks that are outside of SQL. You can bring that into Orchestrator through these activities and have it perform those processes or those tasks through a workflow mechanism that's repeatable over and over and over again. So as you drag and drop them, create different workflow items, this allows you to do end-to-end automation of all those capabilities through Orchestrator.
That's right. As Anur mentioned, actually, those integration packs that he's been talking about, that actually some of them has been created by Microsoft, some of them have been created by the Microsoft partners, or actually you as a DBA or IT or a DevOps or anyone has a programming languages, programming language background, he can go ahead and create his own IP to use it more and more and more.
And these little components that are here, like creating a backup recovery point or a snapshot of a SQL database, you just drag and drop these into the environment here, right? And I'm not going to drag and drop this because he's going to show a live demonstration.
Please.
But you drag and drop that icon in the middle of the canvas, and that'll allow you to take those processes or just that particular piece and add that value in there.
The great thing in actually in Orchestrator that has a notion of actually data bus actually that you use the data in the beginning of the workflow, and you'll be able to use it in the end of the workflow in the middle. So if you use a data today with actually the database name in the beginning, you can actually always go and refer to it in the last activity that you're doing. So this is actually a runbook that actually what exactly does is go and test if the server is done, if the server up or not. If server up, we know that actually any SQL Server today has an SMDB, right? I'm assuming actually I have never seen a SQL Server doesn't have SMDB database or a master database. So what I go is I go test my connectivity for a SQL Server that I want to deploy to. If this is up and I'm able to browse the database, I go to deploy my database through scripts. Then I go check the database version. I say, okay, good, I have my good database version.
So how does that work? Can you actually click into one of those
sure.
things?
Sure. So if I go here and check database version, right? So I go here general first. I know that I'm going to run with check DB version. Then I go run my script and say actually select database version from this database from, you know, what the version build is.
Right. So these icons are loaded with either scripts or things in the background that allow this execution to happen. So that's how it works with Orchestrator.
So, and also, I'm going to deploy today the database to SQL 1, and I'm actually running this script. So you guys, as DBA, you can get all your script loaded here, and you can add more and more database here, right?
And different script items
different script
that you guys already have
and
in
to do more work on it, right? And the good thing is those actually links, they're actually active participant. So actually, if this actually success, I will do continue my workflow. And if they're actually not success, I would actually raise an, or failure, I will raise an alert. So let's see how it's going to run, right? Right. So I want to go first SQL 1. I don't have any Adventure Work database here. So I will go and run my runbook. Hopefully it will run. I need to run again. I need to enter SQL 1. Then I hit OK. See, all the activities will go one by one.
And it's going to start to follow this workflow process that he's designed for it. This can be as technical as you want it to be. This can have decision trees. So if this, then move to this decision tree. If that, then move to a different decision tree or follow through with it. Yes, good question. So with integration services, you could definitely do that. Orchestrator is to centralize your processes. So if you have processes that need to be consumed, right, for self-service, these items or these workflows then plug into Service Manager. And if you want change management or if you want release management behind these processes and you want to actually follow a lifecycle workflow and have them recorded every single time that it happens, you can have these types of workflows or these plugins that allow the ability to be able to say, for someone to say, I want these things or I want to consume this service, which then moves into this workflow, which creates a change ticket because it's a financial database or whatever have you. It, after that change ticket's created and approved, it follows the workflow process.
So I just
great
add,
question.
I want to add on this actually because I know, are you DBA? Awesome. So because I know that actually as soon as you guys are going to see this, you're going to make the link between the SIS and this one, right? And SIS and integration services is great, great, great running within its own bubble for SQL Server. It goes talk to SQL Server here and here. How about actually when you go and extend your operation going from SQL Server, going to talk to FTP services, for example, going to talk to Active Directory, going to do this, going to do that, right? So from here, Orchestrated Service Pack 1 today, it has the capability that actually run under, you can invoke this runbooks with web services. You call the web services from your SIS workflow and execute the work. Good question. So today, actually, if I go now to SQL 1 and I refresh, I found actually my adventure work is here. And actually, this is version.
So database restores, snapshots, transactions that are requested of you that are small, little, tiny transactions, but they're constantly repeated over and over that you just don't want to deal with. This is where you can get it into Orchestrator and have Service Manager be the layer where they request those processes through kind of like a shopping cart or through a self-service request form. And as they request these processes, based on your approval, now you can do this on your phone too. So let's just say you're walking, you're having dinner with the family. DBAs never get, you know, called off hours, right? So, but let's just say you're walking with your family, you want to go ahead and approve a process, you see a ticket come by. So first of all, it's recording what you're requesting. It's coming, the request is coming from somebody. So now that request is coming from someone, I have an automated process that I know can repeat or that can go through what I need it to do. Or a restore, for example. I need this database restored overnight because I have this on, you know, I have to test something. They put in that request while you're on your phone. You can just type in approved. As you type in approved or respond to that ticket, the action will automatically start happening while you're having dinner.
So,
yeah, sweet is right. Absolutely.
So how about actually they call this actually image better than sounds and words? So how about actually you go and just show us the service manager?
You guys want to see that? You guys actually want to see a full consumption of
right.
this? Awesome.
Let me put you on actually on the right piece here. Right. How would I know that? Right.
So SMWeb. I'll drive.
All right, go ahead.
So here is my service manager interface for my end users or people or my developers or whatever have you for SQL services, right? So I go through self-service provisioning or self-service management. They go in through the portal. Now, this is extremely easy to deploy. But I'll walk through some of the tasks that we've automated, for example, right? So I have a new SQL Server request or a new VM request or automated backup request, a restore request. These are some of the key things that we found were kind of mundane and monotonous, things that we found administrators wanting to get rid of. So as I go in here, I say, you know what? I want a new VM request with SQL services on here. So I go to a basic form, and this is just for demo purposes, but you can have different approval processes. You can have chargeback. So where people don't actually look at the chargeback components of SQL, it's like, oh, yeah, just go ahead and deploy 20 instances, or you know, we'll buy this or we'll buy that. There's no project code association with it. All that stuff can be tracked in here. So you can say, you know what? I want a new VM, so put in the name of that SQL server. So I'll say SQL.
Here.
So I'll say SQL. This is going to be my 22nd server, right? So SQL 22. And I'm going to scroll down. And which host will this reside on? So this is just something that we put in for the IT administrator. This can do, you can have intelligent placement with VMware or with Hyper-V on here. So you don't necessarily have to know which host it goes on. As long as you choose the right amount of disk, your logs, all the things that you want in there, you can have that provision as the template profile that Islam created earlier. So everything that he provisioned for that profile earlier can now come into here and say, yep, this is exactly how I want this to be deployed. What kind of backup do you want? Who needs protection? I don't really care about database backups. Or I want this to go to tape, or I want it to go to tape and then cloud, or I want it to go to disk and cloud. I want this to be backed up so that I can access it from anywhere without necessarily being on the network. So I'm going to choose Platinum Protection, which has integration with Windows Azure and System Center Data Protection Manager. And I'll say next here. And as I submit this request for a VM, it's going to follow a workflow process that we were showing you earlier.
Can I see it? Maybe
it's
another host?
A different host. Yeah. I went right back to the same host.
It's Orchestrator.
Yes. So that VM deployment and the backup process is going to automatically start happening. Because I requested it through this portal, like I said, it's a consumption thing. So any type of task that you guys have in your environment that you want to automate for SQL services, not only for virtualized workloads, but even for things that are outside of virtualized workloads. This is just, we're just showing it as a benefit of a virtualized workload of provisioning VMs and things like that. But you can have particular SQL service processes that get created or that get repeated. So you innovate the process, you reduce it, you repeat it over and over and over through a self-service consumption layer. So now, let's see if this is working. There's SQL 22.
Awesome.
What do you guys think?
That's
good
cool.
Stuff? All right. And the other thing that it actually also does is I also want to protect this virtual machine, right? So I want to protect it so that I have the proper protection group. I want it to go to disk for a certain amount of days. I have a particular retention policy that's associated with it for backups. This is where System Center Data Protection Manager also adds that component. So as I add this into the workflow, I can say, as you provision this instance, back it up with this particular type of retention. I want it on-premise for 2 weeks. I want it off-premise in the cloud or on tape or whatever have you for the next 120 days. So this is what allows you to do that as a part of the workflow too. So let's see if it actually created a protection group for me. So I have Platinum Protection.
That's still coming.
So SQL 22 is not here yet, but as it starts to create and provision that virtual machine, it'll also add it in the backup layer too. So not only from a virtual, there it goes. It's starting to come in. Perfect. So it'll start to put in the backup processes, the compliance policies that you have associated with it or whatever have you from that model. Do you guys find this helpful? Heads nodding, yes, absolutely. What processes or what are some of the number one processes that you guys would like to see automated? Any hands, any takers? Failover.
From principal to mirror, from failover and cluster. right? Well, it shows us actually, I'll show you how to start doing this with SCOM, with Ops Manager, without actually going touching your SQL Server. I believe we don't have mirroring set up here, but I will show you how to start this. Sure. Okay.
Anything else that you guys would like to see? We'd love to show you anything from the system-centered components that we're showing you from an automation perspective and show you that it's all possible in this demo. Okay? So now that you have that protection group, that concludes that demo of self-service. Okay. So operations management with SQL Server.
So just actually, go ahead.
Yes, yep. Absolutely. So what you can have it do is you can have it go to that SQL instance. So the question was, let me repeat the question. Can we add newer features to existing instances that are there as well? Absolutely. So if you want to add things that are maybe not, you don't necessarily repeat this every day, right? But things that are there that you want them to be able to still consume through self-service, you can most certainly do that and add that runbook or add that workflow in there to say, go ahead and scan my particular SQL instance that I have today and look at the features that are there. Give them a drop-down of these additional features, and as they choose or checkbox those features, add those features to that existing instance today. Then you can put in a time, a change management ticket, all that stuff in there to say, here's the time I want it to happen. I want it to happen after hours. I want a particular change that's associated with it. So all those things can happen through a process-based form so that I don't have to worry about the headache and the compliance that's associated with it either.
Right.
So great question.
So the advantage actually what actually Noor said, actually the automation is it's not only that it's going to be automated. It's only going to be done as you want, right? So it's not actually I'm adding reporting services in this server. I'm going to find multiple different configuration for reporting services across board. No, this is actually my way of doing it, and this would be always like this. Good one.
Yes. Great question. Absolutely. Did you see the virtual machine manager demo where you were actually able? Oh, so you weren't here for that? It's all right. Virtual machine manager will allow that to happen in the back end, and because you have connectors through all these processes, it'll allow you to go ahead and do exactly what you're requesting. You can add the different drives. You can move logs around. You can do, deploy databases to different locations. Absolutely. So that was in a demo that we showed earlier, and you can definitely plug those processes into this as well. Great question. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. And that's the benefit of taking the system center processes or the system center components and plugging them together, right? So with Word, can you take an Excel document and throw that into Word? Yes. Can you put it into PowerPoint? Yes. So all these processes are now interchangeable. Everything that you can do in one location with a particular system center tool, you can plug into the centralized self-service consumption model for you to be able to do that. So if I need to carve out a pass-through disk or if I need to carve out a LUN that's going to be attached to a particular VM that's running a SQL workload, you can most certainly do that through this process. Absolutely. And these things are not hard to do. We've actually gone through and stepped through some of the processes and the workflow capabilities. They can take anywhere. Usually, if it's a very complex workflow and you have 20 different things you want it to do, it can take a day or two to do it. Or if you want something as basic as provisioning a VM or restoring it or those things, we did that in 45 minutes?
Right.
Or 30 minutes or so.
In the lobby in the hotel yesterday.
Pretty much. But you can do those automations and then say, I want it to carve this out and those things. So great question.
Awesome. More questions? All right.
Okay. So we're going to move on to monitoring, and we're going to get more into the application APM pieces, which we think are extremely, extremely valuable for you guys to see. So,
sure. So how many of you actually today monitoring SQL?
Through SCOM.
Through SCOM. See, awesome. So
monitoring SQL through SCOM, so System Center Operations Manager allows you to monitor all your components, right? You have your hardware, your network, your storage, your application layer, your web layer, all these different components come together. The beauty of this through System Center Operations Manager is that while they come together, those processes can show the entirety and the workflow and the tiers of that application. So your SQL tier, although you get a different dashboard, so the SQL administrator just wants to see, all right, what are the IOPS looking like? I want to, you know, see the availability of my database groups. I want to see these particular type of capabilities and the performance and making sure that these reports are running. You can see those things. But for an administrator that has absolutely no clue of what you're looking at, he can still see a pictorial diagram of how your services are running. So you're not necessarily going to constantly go and monitor that. You're going to look at what's pertaining to you. But the administrator on the other end, that's more of a help desk administrator or a systems administrator, can see a different view for their end to be able to monitor it if they're a NOC or a 365 operation.
Great. So how many of you actually is familiar with APM, Application Performance Monitoring? Okay. Beautiful, right? So the rest of the people actually that you want to learn more about APM, please come tonight at actually 5 o'clock this evening to my session, me and Igor and Chris Sampson, right? Igor will be covering a big part of APM, setting the stage, will explain it from A to Z and moving to Azure and EC2. So as actually—
we're going to move right into the demo of showing this to you guys. We're less PowerPoint and more demonstration of some of these capabilities that you have.
Can you flip this, please?
Yes.
Right. Hope that will work. I don't have scan here.
Oh, it's on the other one.
Right. Just let me hear that. Oh, sorry. Microsoft, my friends. Right. So this is actually, you can actually get this application from Microsoft website, and this is actually the pet shops. Pet shops is actually the application, web front-ended, and backbones database, right? So more actually I go on the application today, I go clicking, right, I'm saying I want to buy a cat. Slow. Or right, maybe I should, I'm going to buy a dog. Even not working. Maybe going to refresh.
But certain things that are running in the background, you can actually monitor all those transactions. So for this web app, you want to show them a distributed app while we come back to this,
sure.
This piece?
So this actually, the application actually comprised of actually web front end web servers. Actually, you can say actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 front web, front servers. I have actually my database and my database mirroring or cluster and so on. I will show it actually in the DA that actually Anur was talking about.
You were on the right one.
That's confusing. Right. So this is COM, Ops Manager. There's Service Pack 1. I did actually this and I show.
So it has, it's showing that the application is healthy right now.
Right.
So what we want to do is we want to see the workflow of that application through a diagram view. So what does that look like? What does that mean for SQL?
Right. So this is all the application diagram for myself. Right. I know that actually I'm watching the database from a server, which actually supposes the web server watch the database. I need to make sure actually I'm having the appropriate port for SQL is open. I know that actually I'm running under the pet shop application. I know that actually the pet shop application has, or database has logs and MDF, right? I can actually go here on my database, right? And I say, you know what? I want to check the consistency check. I want to do a database failover for whoever actually asking a database failover, right? I want to set database offline, right? So I got to maybe take the role of the devil here today and just go and scum. Sorry, I'll go to the SQL one, which is not here. And I will say, you know what, where's my pet shop? I'm going to take it offline, right?
So as this goes offline, operations manager is going to start going through the alerting process.
Right. So this is exactly like actually if your data center operator, he came and just he unplugged the cable or did something similar, right? Can you go to SCOM, please?
Yep.
Right. Refresh. Going in the process, it will be offline soon. So as Anur mentioned, I actually can run a lot of operation from my DA. Like, let's actually move forward actually until it actually doesn't get detected, and I will show you something very interesting. You want to talk about synthetic transaction?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So for synthetic transactions, so while you know that database is being taken offline, that job's happening, it's going to go ahead and flash red and show exactly where the problem is in the application. Now, if the problem is not on the database side and the database is up, but the port's flapping on the network side, it'll show you, hey, look, these network ports that are associated with this switch through the network vicinity diagram has these problems for SCOM or has these problems for SQL Server and so on and so forth. This is where you can actually look at the different performance, the different things that you have running. But if you have a particular baseline, if you have things where you say, I want to query SQL with this particular type of transaction, or I want to go ahead and make sure that that connection is available every single time to these particular databases that are associated with this application, you can do things that you can do something called a synthetic transaction in SCOM. And that synthetic transaction, just like a regular human would, constantly goes and checks that database availability, logs into it with a particular credential, goes and accesses it, or comes back with, this is how long it took to access this. I had 500 milliseconds as an acceptable time. It's completely breached it. This is where my application performance degradation is happening. And then you can actually run tests against that to say, these are the queries that are running, or this is the time, or this is the trending that this is happening at 1 o'clock every day, or every 3 days or whatever, just to make sure that you have some sort of training report and availability report around that as well. So we're going to show a synthetic transaction and what the synthetic transaction process looks like, and you can go ahead and you can see how that's going to be a big value add from a
yeah. This really doesn't really need any PhD. It doesn't really need PhD to have this. You can very much go and create it in the authoring. Go to rules. Go to monitors.
Here, I'll drive it.
Right.
So you have particular management pack templates.
Right.
And your synthetic transactions are happening on your database layer.
Right.
So these database layers, so I have my pet shop application that has a synthetic transaction. I'm going to go ahead and add a brand new monitoring layer. And I want to monitor this type of database or these few databases with these queries, or I want to have it log in and do these types of transactions to it.
So what normally you can do today, you can actually ask your dev to provide you with a query that goes through all your business layers and database that actually makes sure that actually your everything is working. So actually you're doing select from here, insert there, delete here. Now it actually will simulate all the transactions in your database. And then it will come back after that. We'll say I'm able to make my transaction in 2 milliseconds, and this is my benchmark. Above this, I will trigger an alert because something is wrong.
Correct. So I'm going to go next. I'm going to say pet shop DB. I'm going to choose the management pack that I want this to be in. So I'm just going to put this right now in. Put it in the tech ed management pack. I'll say next. And then I'll build my connection string that I want it to follow. Or I have a query that I want it to execute. So it needs to execute in this amount of time for me to know that this is a healthy application, that it's actually performing according to my business requirements. So you can actually put those rules in here in the amount of milliseconds, and then let's just say if we're building a query, we can add the provider.
And second one.
And then the SQL computer one. SQL one. And then the database. So that was Pet Shop. And then I can put in the amount of query timeouts, et cetera. So if I say test, hopefully I spelled pet shop in the way that it's.
Well, I think it's going to work.
And the task gets submitted to a watcher node. Now, you can have your different watchers that are set up. So I probably didn't put in the right database query there or the right string there. But this will allow me to check against it every single time. Make sure that it's actually available, that it's there for my application. It's staying consistent with the amount of, the metrics that I've put up for it, et cetera. So we're going to move out of synthetic transactions.
Yes. Go ahead.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So, there definitely can be, right? So if your query is extravagant, you're definitely going to start to, and if you're running it, so like let's just say you set it up to run every 2 minutes. If you're going to run a very, very large query every 2 minutes, it's going to definitely have a performance hit. Yes, you can. That pulse test will be just fine. There's really very little overhead on it. You're running it every 2 minutes. It's just a pulse test. So it's checking if it's alive, it's there. It's not really a something that's too heavy. It's more of a call out. So it's not something that's extremely heavy. Yes.
That's right. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Great question.
All right. So hopefully we have enough time to show the APM part. Right. So I just want to go to SQL 1, see how is my offline working. Oh, that's taking
so
long.
It's still taking a little bit of time here.
Right. All right. So maybe I do have the stat that we showed last time.
Go ahead and shut the server down.
No, I'm not doing this.
He's like, no way.
I'm not doing this.
How many DBAs do you go and just say, I'm going to go shut the SQL server down just to test the transaction?
IT professional with that.
Just power it off, exactly. Right. You don't want a nice, easy shutdown. You want it to be pull the plug. So as that runs, you can start to see it in the distributed application flow. How many of you guys think that'll be helpful for when you guys are troubleshooting these types of transactions in your environment? Nods? Okay, great. Right,
anyway, I think I don't have.
Let's move on.
I know that
database is taking forever to go offline because we didn't pray hard to the demo gods this morning, but we'll move it into the next piece. Correct. That was the operations management side. Any questions on that from how the distributed applications were built all the way to building out the synthetic transactions? Yes.
Now, when you were adding that monitor, did you have to have a distributed application set up first, or did you have that monitor set up outside of the context of the distributed application?
So the question was, and let me rephrase this, or let me kind of put this back out there just to make sure I got it right. Did I have to have the distributed application already built out in SCOM? Or yes, the answer is yes. You have to actually build out what your application looks like because it's not going to go and associate every single component with it. Because then you're going to get Active Directory, you're going to get the network, you're going to get all the other things that are using this app, or even if like a node uses it, you don't want all that coming in. You want to just see what the application has. So you associate the web tier, the app tier, and the SQL tier layers on that. Would you guys like to see how that was built out? Yes, a couple hands. Okay, so let's go into demos. I'm okay with moving off of PowerPoint and doing more demonstrations so that you guys can feel more comfortable with the System Center product line.
We much only have 7 minutes, so let's go first.
We have just a few minutes, so I will definitely show this. Feel free to pop out questions or ask. We've already shown a data protection scenario, but we're going to show anything that you request on this. So to build out the distributed application in SCOM, it literally would take you 5 minutes. If you know how the application works in your environment, it would take you not more than 5 minutes to build this out. So I go into authoring. And then under authoring, I go to distributed applications. So right here is my pet shop application, right? But if I want to create a brand new application that's maybe a financial application, I go to create distributed applications. And I say, financial
app.
Application. And I say, is it a line of business web app? Is it a three-tier app? Do I want to have a blank template where I can just draw out my app? And then just for this, I'll say, yep, it's a line of business web app. I'm going to use the TechEd Management Pack. I'm going to click OK. And you see how it already built out these components for me? So it says, all right, it's a web app. It's got a web tier and it's got a SQL tier, right? But I can add more layers in here. And then as I go to my database, it'll discover all the databases that it's monitoring in the environment. So this is beautiful. That's when I start to drag and drop my databases in here. And I say, yep, I want you to monitor this component. I want you to monitor that component. And then I build out my website, or I add in my web layer. So if I know how this data flow happens between the application, it's just as easy as point and click and shoot. Great question. Do you guys think this is extremely powerful? Do you guys think this will be very helpful for you guys? Great. Cool. What other questions do you guys have? We've already shown data protection. We've already shown some of these key capabilities. We have 5 minutes left for this presentation. What questions do you have, or what demonstrations would you like to see with System Center? You can have hyper-technical questions, things that go right into, you know, the grind for this. We can show you anything that you want to see from a System Center perspective in managing these workloads. Yes. We'll go ahead and we'll show APM. So hopefully, we'll actually power off the server if we have to. So
hopefully that we have the APM management pack here. If actually you will not be able to demonstrate APM here, please come to my session at 5 o'clock. Right? You'll see this, right? So do we have application performance monitoring?
We have application monitoring, but that's not the...
Yeah, it's not.
So we don't have that as a part of this demo.
Right.
We apologize. But what we can do is, if you come to this session at 5 o'clock, we can show you in depth as much as you'd like to see with the application performance monitoring piece.
I just want to wrap up on what we did today, actually. So today, actually, it wasn't only about Service Manager. It wasn't only about Data Protection Manager, nor Orchestrator, and so on. It's all about, actually, how is all this component, they work together for SQL Server, right? So you, as a DBA now, you know what the capability that actually SQL Server, that System Center can help you with, right? And go talk to your System Center admin and tell them, I need you to do this and that for me, and vice versa. And actually, IT professional now today actually can take System Center to the next level to work with a DBA to monitor SQL Server or to do more automated tasks.
Our goal, our end goal for this presentation, even when we started this, was to focus on all the different management layers and the capabilities that you guys, you know, that we heard from DBAs. You know, I want to be able to, you know, automate some of these tasks. I want to be able to look at the virtualization layer. I want to be able to look at the operations layer. I want to bring all this together because it's not coming together. So help me take this back to either my IT administrator, or if I am the IT administrator, help me achieve this through bringing all the System Center products together. So we hope this has been really informative for you. If there's any questions, please feel free to ask them. We hope you have a great time at TechEd and enjoy all the sessions that you have.
So before we leave, because I'd like to get a survey, so how many of you see that actually this was useful for him today?
Awesome. We love you guys.
You guys know?
So thank you guys very much. Please evaluate our session if you liked it. If you didn't like it, don't worry about it. So thank you very much for attending our session.